All right, Proverbs chapter 6, and let's start reading. Last week we covered about half of the chapter, I believe. Let's start reading in verse number... let's start reading in verse number 16 this week. Well, no, let's see. Let's just back up to verse number 9. We'll do that. Verse number 6. Yeah, we'll start right there. I know where I want to start teaching, but I like to review a little bit. Verse number 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart, he deviseth mischief continually, he soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. These 6 things doth the Lord hate, yea, 7 are an abomination unto him. We're going to start there in verse 16 just a second, but let's go back to verse number 6. And we covered this pretty well last week. We'll just touch over it just a little bit, go back through with maybe a thought or two extra. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Little bitty old creature that most people give a dose or two of insecticide, worth more than a bunch of red-blooded Americans we got this day and time. It won't provide nothing for nothing, no time. He said it provides his meat in the summertime. A lot of men that I know of and a lot of men that I've seen in my day and time don't produce nothing any time. Amen. They're waiting for something to be provided for them, ain't they? He says, having no guide, no overseer, and no ruler. A little ant can take care of himself without having to be told. Ain't that something? So what do you want to be when you grow up? A little bit like an ant. Amen. Just somebody that has the initiative to do what you're supposed to do when you're supposed to do it. So he says, how long wilt thou sleep? Verse 9. Look at this. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep. Now, most of the time when I've ever read that verse, it seemed like it didn't fit in there because it's telling you not to be a sluggard, not to sleep a long time. And then he says, yet a little sleep. It sounds like he's about to justify the sleep, isn't it? But you know, that's what he's giving you an example right there of the fellow you're going to run across. Well, a man's got to sleep. You ever heard people give excuses like that, telling you why? I mean, they're going to give you this. I mean, the human body doesn't work without sleep. It's just natural to give the excuse. Well, a man's got to sleep, does he? You read through the book of Psalms, you read through the book of Proverbs, and you're going to find it time and time again. He says, I put away the food, and he said, I drove my sleep from me. A lot of times the best thing to do is push away everything comforting until you get the thing worked out. Would to God we had Christians that wouldn't sleep till they got things right. Amen. I've had that thought about myself. And I had a good thought this past week about how to preach effectively towards people, and that's just to preach to myself. Just aim right down the middle of my eyeballs and pull the trigger and preach about the problems that I got, because all men got the same kind of problems. All men tempted the same. But we understand that, you know, a fella goes to working more than he goes to church. I mean, just start pouring his life into his job and pouring his life into making his first $1 million. And preacher says, where you been? He said, well, a man's got to work. Well, a man does have to work. The Bible says if a man don't work, he shouldn't eat. One of the biggest problems America's got is feeding teenage boys and they not doing no work. Amen. Hey, well, you know, you get to the place, well, little Johnny's got to eat, yeah, but he's also got to grow up and be a man, too. Yeah. Amen. Got to learn how to do some work. Got to learn how to do some work. That goes for girls too. And I, you know, if you want to argue about what kind of work they ought to do, that's between you and your wife and your daughters and your sons, what kind of work they're going to do. But I tell you this, they need to do something. Wash some dishes or something. I woke up about, I guess it's been a couple of months ago now, and there was a couple of dirty dishes in the sink. I said, listen, we ain't never, ever, ever, ever going to go to bed with dirty dishes in the sink again. That was something we've grown up with and something that ought not to be done. Hey, just wash them. He said, well, shouldn't everybody share in the load? I didn't distribute out the work evenly. I told the girls, I said, y'all wash them dishes before you lay your head down to sleep, take care of the chores that's supposed to be done for the day. And you know, a man's got to sleep. That's what he's saying. He said, hey, when you going to get up, you old sluggard? When you going to get something done? And the response to that is, well, a little folding of the hands to sleep. He said, yeah, you're going to be poor too. Let's read it again, see if that ain't what he said. The ant, he provides her meat in the summer, verse 9, gather through food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, old sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come. You want to fend off poverty? Work some more hours. Well, I'm awful tired. Well, welcome to the human race. We all tired. Amen. Got awful quiet right there. Well, that's the day that we face. The day that we face right now is I got to go on vacation. I got to have a break. Isn't that the day and age we live in? That there's, what do you call them things? What do you call those places? Resorts, Gatlinburg and different places like that. Got to run up there every other week to take a break. But man, I think if I was you, I'd find a different life if you got to have a break from it every 2 weeks. Isn't that right? Amen. Well, I got news for you. You find your different life, you're going to be tired in that one too. Amen. You say, what's it all about? We was born in a garden in a perfect situation, and we messed it up. Amen. And now we live in a cursed world. You're going to get tired from time to time. And about the time you're feeling your tiredest, just remember that the Lord said, out of the sweat of your brow, you're going to live. When you're getting to the place where you're exhausted, where you give out, you put out, folks on your last nerve, you're building a constitution to live. When you get away and you're rested and relaxed and there's no worries, well, you're just setting your heart up for a heart attack.
Right.
That's it. Stay strong. It's hard to kill a hard-working man. Get sickness in his body and begin to fail and begin to falter, he'll be holding on to his life by brute strength. That's why the Bible says 70 is a man's life, but if by reason of strength, it be 80. Strong man live 10 extra years. You don't get strong, you know. Brother Pedro caught me when I come in doing that 12-ounce. You know, brought in a can of Coke with me. You just don't get strong eating and drinking. You get strong working. Right. Amen? And I hate it just about as bad as anything. I hate to work. Amen? I am my father's son, I guess, but I hate to work. I don't like to. But when it's time to work, I'm going to work just as fast and just as hard as I can to get it done. And even I must be getting, I told my wife, I said, I think a alien from Mars came down here and abducted me and replaced me with a clone, and I'm somewhere else because I've been just working and working and working and working, but I find that I like the sense of accomplishment better than anything else. You can keep your dollars and dimes even. I just like getting things done. Amen? Well, there's something to that. That probably is. Probably half of us is from Mars or somewhere else. Well, let's look here. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Now, one thing that I like about Proverbs is, or the one thing that stands out to me about Proverbs is, you can preach it and teach it and sound. I told this, I think it was Brother Nathan or Brother Ethan or somebody. You can do some of the best preaching if you're talking about adjusting the character of man. You can do some of the best preaching that there is right here. But I don't know none of us that ain't lazy. And none of us that couldn't be more industrious and more thrifty and stuff like that. So when I'm preaching out of the book of Proverbs, or when I'm reading out of the book of Proverbs in my private reading and my private study, oh me, is the words that I utter just about every verse, because it will get you. It will get you. Because that's what the book of Proverbs is about. Building your life, building character, adjusting yourselves to be able to receive instruction and apply that instruction to your life. It's part of the fallen nature. We are sinners. We're not perfect, and we don't have this character as far as what's the word I'm looking for? These things are not innate. You're not just born just naturally want to go to work 24 hours a day and want to do the right thing all the time, and men not look at women, women not look at men, and all these things that the book of Proverbs covers, it doesn't come natural to you. It's against your nature. It's against your nature. So when you're going through a class like this, you're tempted to say, well, who does he think he is? I think I'm one of you, and I think you're one of me, and I know what's going on in your mind and body. These are the things that we need to focus on in our society today and learn these things. I heard somebody say out there on the carport on the front porch just a minute ago, talking about their kids wanting this and wanting that. And a fella said to the little boy, said, I ain't giving you no money. Work for some money. If you want to buy something, then you got to work for it. And he said, well, I guess I got to get to work then. That's good. That's good. That's what you learn. That's what you need to learn at a young age. Amen. Now, I will say something about this, and I thought about this long and hard yesterday. You're going to put them little kids to work? That's what ought to happen. Amen. Give them some reward for it. Give them some reward for it. One of the biggest reasons why I hated work as a boy is we worked our fingers to the bone, and all we got for it was discipline. Now, I appreciate the discipline at 45, but if I was working for $24 a week in the tobacco field, I would have liked to have had two or three of them dollars. Amen. What you do, I mean, you might get 7 out of 10 that accepts that and responds to the discipline and grows up and makes something out of himself, but there's two or three of them youngins that's being treated like that, that's going to say, well, if there ain't no reward for working, there ain't no use to work. Amen? And say, well, I'll give him all he needs and I'll supply all he needs. Is that what you want to happen when he grows up? You want somebody else to supply all he needs? That's the attitude that's the problem right now. The government's going to supply this and the government's going to supply that. You know, like the colored gentleman said, and I heard this said before, he said, how's everything going? He said, I'm just fine. The Lord's leading me and the government's feeding me. Well, I got news for you. If somebody else is doing all your feeding, the Lord might not be leading you that way. Yeah. Amen. Well, I will say this. Don't be afraid to put a little bit of work on. I said little Johnny last week, and I remember we got little Johnny. Say, amen. But don't be afraid to be a little hard on little Johnny, but make sure he gets some reward for his labors. Amen. All right, let's move on from there then. He says, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth. You ever seen how much money it takes to travel? You run out of money quick. And thy want as an armed man. I don't know if you've ever sat around an army camp or a military camp, but they're not eating caviar and stuff like that. Amen. They might have some crackers, but they ain't got no caviar out there. If you had a dime for every time somebody around a military camp said, I want, you'd be a very rich man. And the Bible says if you don't work, if you don't apply yourself, he said, pretty soon your poverty is going to show up. Just like it shows up in a man that travels all the time, or a man that's armed, an armed man, a military man. He don't have the easy life. He has a hard life. Then he says, a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He winketh with his eyes. Now, what he's talking about, and you've seen preachers preach like that all the time, moving it. It doesn't mean that if you move your hands while you talk, you're a criminal or nothing like that. But you better watch out for the diversionary man. Somebody that's doing one thing with his mouth and another thing with his hands. You know, the biggest example of that would be a car dealer. He's saying one thing, but he's trying to divert your attention. Look how wonderful the trunk of this car looks. Yeah, he's trying to keep you away from looking under the hood. In other words, there's something going on. He's showing you one thing. The magician does that. He shows you something with his hand while he's distracting you from something else. And that's what this is talking about. He said he winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his feet. He's saying more with his expression than he is with his mouth. He's doing more. In other words, he can tell you something and he's winking at you. Well, you know how it is. You've watched television, haven't you? Most of the emotion that you get from a television program comes not from what they're saying, but how they present it, how the look on a face, the look on a man's face or a woman's face in a certain situation. That's about the way, that's where you get your emotion from. That's where you get your feeling from. That's the truth. And then somebody going to come along and fool you. You just watch out when a fellow's trying to convince you of something. And when he's using all these gestures and winking with his eye and giving you this overly dramatic junk. Well, I tell you what preachers do. I'll tell you how a preacher does that. He'll give you that fake cry while he's preaching. And my brother, I just want you to know today. Where's the tears? Ain't no tears. Every time I hear that, I'll nudge my wife and say, ain't no tears. Giving you that, but preachers got a habit of that, getting that little scratchy, whiny like he's crying, but there ain't no tears coming out. You know what I found out about the human body? When you start crying, wet stuff comes out of your eyeballs and snot comes out of your nose, and you got to start reaching for one of these things right here, a napkin, and start. And preach for 45 minutes, brother, like this, and ain't got no hanky or nothing like that blowing your nose. You're a liar. He said, well, he's telling the truth. He's trying to affect nobody. No, that's a lie. False emotion in a sermon is a lie. Amen. False illustrations in a sermon is a lie. Amen. One time there was a little boy named Johnny, and he ran away from home, and he done this and he done that, and next thing you know, he's down. You're telling a lie. That's why I like to use Bible illustrations for my sermons. Now, if I wasn't there, and if I didn't know it happened, I don't generally like to use illustrations like that. My wife bought me 10 million illustrations. It used to be 1,001 illustrations, but now they got like 10,000 or something like that. It's a big old book full of sermon illustrations, and I think I opened that thing when I first got it, and I ain't opened it since because, I mean, why do I want somebody else's illustration for? If it's a Bible, I know it's true. Now, there's a place in England, and it's where two ways meet, and there's a big cross there. And if you could, you know, if this little boy got lost in town, he says to the man, now, mister, if you could get me over to that cross, I believe I could find my way home because it's only two blocks from my house. And my brother and I would like to tell you that if you could just find the cross, you can find your way to... I don't like that kind of preaching. You say, why? Because it's insincere. It's something whipped up. Just to stir the emotions. And I'd like to stir your emotion, but I'd like to stir it with something true and something real and something honest and something I've experienced before. I'm not here to just give you sign language and a tear in my eye or a tear in my voice, and try to make you feel something for 30 minutes that you ain't going to feel later on tonight or tomorrow or the next day. That's what's wrong with religion today. Amen? We're not supposed to be dramatic for drama's sake. Whatever. If the Lord had given me a gift, if the Lord had given me an opportunity to do something for Him and to use it for His glory, I'd do that. But just drama for drama's sake and laughter for laughter's sake, but you can find Bible against that. Read the book of Romans chapter 11. There's verses, get yourself a dictionary and open the book of Romans to chapter 12 and read Romans chapter 12 and search out some of them big words towards the end of the chapter, and it means basically this: no laughter, no being loud, no cutting up, no making jokes, be still, go through life like you're sucking on persimmons, and that'll be a good and holy life for you. If you don't believe it, look it up for yourself. And I read that the other day and was looking at that, and I'm like, that's me in a nutshell. Laughing and cutting up and carrying on. But see, I don't try to do that. A lot of stuff is funny to you because it's stupid. I mean, just a bunch of stupid stuff. But I'm not trying to just put on a show just to try to get people to respond to the sermon. It's the truth, trying to get the truth out. That's what it is. Well, say, why would a man put on like that? Verse 14, frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. He soweth discord. I tell you, a lot of preaching is sowing discord. A lot of stuff you hear from the pulpits, from the pews perspective, is sowing discord. Hey, we need to pray for old so-and-so because he done, that's discord. You know, the Old Testament tells you a three-cord rope. A rope with three cords and it's hard to break. Well, you take them things and pull them apart and make them three separate cords, they're a little bit easier to break. That's what discord is, saying something to somebody so they'll like you better than they like them. Finding a fellow's friend and start putting little insinuations in there. No, we, you know, are you friends with Rick over there? Oh yeah, Rick's my buddy. Well, you should have heard what he said last week. Saying it like it's a joke. Oh, you should have heard what he said about you last week. Little insinuations, sowing discord. Hey, we need to pray for brother so and so because he ain't been acting right lately. Well, while we're at it, let's pray for you because you ain't been acting right lately either. Amen. And that we could say that about all of us. But the thing that people trying to put on, frowardness is in their heart. The biggest part of movie acting and television acting is there's something in their heart that's there that's not about just entertaining people. It's about teaching you your God ain't real. And your government is faulty. It's government. It's going to be faulty for the most part. But a lot of people, they're not talking about the crooks in government right now. When they try to bring up something bad about your government, it's not the principal part. They're talking about the principal part, their own criminal industry in government. They're going to cover that up. They're talking about George Washington. He was a crook and a criminal and a slave owner. They're trying to take away the underpinning of this thing. Well, that's what he's talking about here. They devise mischief continually, trying to sell you a bill of goods. Like all these actors coming out against guns and all these politicians coming out against guns, and they got armed security with them. Remember probably 10 years ago, Al Gore and all this global warming stuff. You notice he didn't park his SUV. All these big giant SUVs, you know, they're talking about. I'm trying to walk a couple miles around this little prescribed loop that I got worked out in my neighborhood, and there's this place right there. I happened to notice this fella got him a new Suburban, a couple of years old. I mean, probably, I don't know, 10 years old maybe. And he's a tree had fell on his house, so he's got a new trailer there. Cut his trailer in two back during that storm we had, so he got a new trailer there. And then he had a pickup truck there. Then I noticed this Suburban start setting in there. And I happened to notice yesterday, or maybe it was the day before yesterday, this truck in this Suburban, Chevrolet pickup, 1500, sitting beside this Suburban. That Chevrolet pickup is a lot bigger than that Suburban is. And you wouldn't think it by looking at it by itself. If you look at a Suburban sitting beside a Chevette or a Ford Escort, it looks pretty big. But I happened to just be sitting there looking. I stopped and looked at it, and I couldn't believe what I was looking at. That Chevy pickup, 1500, was bigger. It's bigger. Bigger in its body, bigger in its, I don't know, it's probably the same wheelbase, but it's bigger than the SUV. But they're on the news media continuing. These SUVs are killing our planet. Well, we've been having F-150s and F-250s for 50 years. How come you ain't been saying nothing about that? And that motorcade you ride from the Capitol to the White House in, that thing's 15 cars long just to protect you, and you ain't worth one security guard. And you all got guns. And when you travel from Washington, D.C. to Baltimore, Maryland, you got to take a jumbo jet to do that. Ain't nobody worried about the planet. They're worried about taking something away from you that you already ain't got. See, you know what's hard for you? You know what's hard for you and me? And God bless you. God bless you for it, I guess. But at the same time, it can be a curse to you. You want to think the best of people. That friend that you got that talks behind your back, you want with all your heart to believe that they just wouldn't talk bad about you. And you say, well, I just want to think the best about people. No, it ain't really about you trying to think the best of people. It's you thinking about you. If you was honest with yourself about the dishonesty of other people, it'd break your heart because you'd say, they really don't love me. But that's what life is. You think about, I was thinking about God's search party yesterday. God walking in the garden looking for, or not in the garden, but God looking, a little bit late for walking in the garden, but God looking around, God walking around actually looking for Abel. Think about that. When Abel turned up missing, God was looking for him. And he come by Cain's place and he said, where's Abel? His own brother. Am I my brother's keeper? That's the way people think right there. Well, not my wonderful friend. Your wonderful friend looking out for himself. Yeah. You say, what's the great produce of Christianity? It produces men who love the brethren. Love. You know, one of the most difficult, we're talking about how hard it is to get through the book of Proverbs without getting under conviction. Probably the single most difficult chapters in the Bible to live up to is the little old chapter on love, 1 Corinthians. Charity suffereth long. It despises. It rejoiceth not in iniquity, I should put it that way. Pretty good chapter. You ought to check it out sometime. Well, Brother Mike, I think we ought to preach more on that chapter about homosexuality. I think we should too, but that one on charity do us a lot of good. Amen? Amen, it surely would. That chapter right there would solve a lot of problems. Amen? Well, let me move on. Let's get down here to verse number 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Now, I've heard people say that the Lord don't hate people, and I don't agree with that statement. Don't agree with that statement at all. There are some people that the Lord hate, and they're not. The Lord's no respecter of persons, and we'll get into the verses on the type of folks that the Lord hates. The Lord loves people. The Lord loves His creation. There's no question about that. The Lord, for God so loved the world. He loved the world because He created the world. It's a parental responsible love. It's a charitable love. There's no question about that. But if you want to get into the realm of things that God hates, then just start messing around with the attitudes, the sins, the human condition that God hates, and all these things deal with that. A proud look, not pride, a proud look. Now, you're not going to get to a proud look without pride, but if God approached it from that vantage point, then there's no question we'd all be in the steam pot, as it were. We'd be jumping out of the frying pan into the fire. God dislikes pride, certainly. But when pride doesn't always work itself into a proud look. When pride begins to show up on the outside, that's when the Lord really let you know what He thinks about it. A proud look, a lying tongue. Got to tell the truth, folks. Got to tell the truth. If I was a man, we're talking about learning how to live. If I was a man talking to a boy and really giving him his first real senseful talk, I mean real important talk that he needs to remember for the rest of his life, just tell the truth. Just be honest. Well, Brother Mike, what if somebody asks something that's going to really hurt their feelings? Well, you're going to have to think about it then. I mean, you're just going to have to really think about the best way to go about the situation. I'm not telling you to come out and be hurtful or what's the word I'm looking for? I'm not telling you to come out and not use any tact. I'm not telling that, but you got to tell folks the truth. You got to be honest. Amen? How was the meal? I didn't care too much for it. See, you can't do that. Your fundamental existence is wrapped around a lie. Does this dress make me look fat? Well, let's deal with that tactfully. What's wrong with being fat? No, darling, it don't. Yes, it does. No, I mean, the dress doesn't make you look fat. You're fat. Now, that's the way you hurt somebody's feelings. But, well, I mean, you need to be comfortable being you. And where we're going tonight, honey, you don't need nobody's number. Amen? I mean, because you're already married to me. So it really doesn't matter. Amen? I mean, but you can handle things tactfully. And I use those things because now you think, oh, Brother Mike said fat, and I'm a little overweight myself. Listen, that's not the point. The point is our basic existence is built around lies. Right? I mean, there's many of folks that sung in church, oh, that was a blessing, brother. No, it wasn't. It wasn't a blessing. You can't sing. If I've got to hold my ears to keep from, exploding on the inside, you might want to practice your keys and stuff like that. Even get on key and all kinds. Practice, amen. Well, Brother Mike, it's what's in the heart. I realize that. I realize that more than anybody. Hey, my girls and stuff have to listen to me singing around the house. I understand that. But listen, if somebody can't sing, just tell them, hey, you can't sing. You say, what will that do? It'll make them practice, number one, if they're dedicated to singing. And number two, it'll keep them from making a fool out of themselves in public. Amen? I was, preaching one time, and a fella's going, I'm trying to avoid him because, it's kind of distracting. Sometimes some distractions I don't mind, but some other distractions just kind of make my mind wander off into like, what's going on with that guy? And every time I'd come back across his way, he'd go, I don't get. Well, he'd done that all through the service. And I he'd come up to me after service. He's like, Brother Mike, I was trying to get your attention. And I was like, why? He said, your zipper was down. Well, listen, this does not translate into your zipper was down. There's no way for me to improve my situation unless you're clear. If you're not going to do that, then just let it go. Because I'm thinking you got Tourette's or something like that. I'm not going to get the correct message that way, and the situation's not going to resolve itself without some clarity. Right. Amen? So just leave it alone. Amen? Well, you got to be honest with folks. And we're not, I understand not trying. I use all of that. The not singing good, and I'm using that to make a bigger point. I suppose you could sing bad and be a blessing, make a joyful noise and all that stuff, but the joyful noise not only has to come from your heart, it has to be joyful to the ear as well, amen? There's joyful coming out, and there's joyful coming in, amen? So, I mean, that has to be taken into consideration as well. But I'm actually trying to make a bigger point than that. If your basic life is built on falsehood, then the larger result is going to be that as well. Like a fella that won't work, and you just say, well, he's misunderstood. No, he's lazy. And as long as you keep giving him this misunderstood, you don't know his situation, you don't know his environment that he's raised up. Listen, don't matter what environment you're raised up in. If you was raised in the wrong environment and your laziness is somehow justified, it's not justified to the point where you can keep being lazy. Somebody has to come to it and say, well, I understand you were brought up a little bit wrong, but you need to get over your laziness now. That's from an honest vantage point. Lying never solved nothing. Lying makes it easier on you. That's what it comes down to. Amen? And we hear all these fellas, I'm going to defend. It's one of the biggest things on social media right now. We're going to protect our guns. You can't even tell your wife she gained a little weight. You're not going to fight the government about your guns. Is that right? And listen, if you go home and say, "Now, honey, I want to tell you something. You're overweight." She's going to dot your I for you. Amen. I hope you like, I'm not telling you to do that. I'm trying to make a larger point. People can't even say, "Hey, you can't sing." How are they going to stand up for the real things in life when they can't stand up for the, they can't tell the truth about basic things? Am I making sense? Because I feel like I've got a bunch of people looking at me like, "Does Brother Mike think I'm fat?" That's not the point that we're trying to make here. I got to come up with a better illustration. That what other lies do people tell one another? Come on, you know. Well, I'll work on a better illustration, but for the time being, you know, you're going to have to deal with the illustrations that I got. Start with honesty. Amen? Find the most tactful way. I mean, because if you come into church tonight with a black eye, I'm going to know what happened. Amen. And don't much blame you. Don't much blame her. Amen? Amen. Men's the world worse for that. Get on to a woman about her appearance. You don't look like you looked when you got married either. Amen. My kids have been poring over pictures from the last 17, 18 years, the last couple of days, and I looked at that fella from 18 years ago, and I'm like, ain't no wonder why she married him. He's a good-looking fella. 18 years, a shaggy beard, rolls under the chin, toothpick body, and a butterball balloon belly. Like my soul, I wonder she ain't. Hey, you got to marry for more than looks, amen? Amen. If you're going to make it, you're going to have to do that. But most of that's based on lies, too. I love you, honey. You don't love nobody but yourself. Amen? If there's any girls in here that's approaching anywhere within a decade of the marrying age, that I love you stuff is overrated. Amen? I'm talking about that I love you that want to convince you to marry somebody. Hey, the fella, hey, there's three young men that's going to come in. I don't know who they are yet. Three young men going to come into some shocking revelations when they try to marry my girls. Amen? I'm going to be a lot harder than there was on me when I tried to get my girl. Where's the deed to your house? Well, son, come see me in 10 years when you got that deed. Well, we'll run off and get married. I'll hunt you down and kill you. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, listen, I'll just put it this way. If a fella can sweet talk my girls and tell them a bunch of lies to talk them into getting married, I can respond with a little bit of the opposite approach. Amen. Amen. Shed some light on that situation. Oh, we got 10 minutes left. Let me read here. A proud look, a lying tongue. That said, verse right there preaches a little bit longer than I thought it would. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. Don't raise your hand against nobody without a cause. People think it's all right to shoot up their school because some little girl picked on them or something. Listen, I've got in a lot of fights. Most of them I lost. Before I was in the ninth grade, I got beat up on a regular basis. And one thing that I learned out of that was not, had nothing to do with anybody else in the world but me. And I knew how I felt being picked on and being abused and stuff like that. Of course, you get a toughness out of that, which I appreciate. But the thing that I'm talking about is there are not that many things in this world that's worth raising your hand to somebody else and doing violence over. There are a few. Self-defense is one in any situation. Amen? Right. Your family, your wife, your kids, that's one. Amen? Yeah. Now, that's about the size. You say, well, my home and my house. Well, listen, you break in my house while I'm gone, and I'm going to be thankful that I wasn't there. And you're going to be thankful that I wasn't there. You break in my house while I'm there, you're going to die. And I'm not going to be defending my house. I'm going to be defending what's in my house, my wife and my kids and myself. But when you go beyond that, I mean, movies are selling violence for a lot of different reasons. And society is choosing violence for a lot of different reasons. But just because she won't go to the prom with you, there's no reason to shoot up your high school. Amen. You're thinking wrong about that. Amen. feet that, he said, hands that shed innocent blood. Well, see, people are guilty, but when you start shedding blood, the punishment has to fit the crime as an American principle, right? Well, if you're going to do more than what justice requires, it's basically stamping them with innocence. I hope that's understandable. If not, we'll cover it some more time. If Brother Spike, the Bible says, and I read this, it's in the, we'll be reading it in the upcoming scriptures, but the Bible says if a man steals to satisfy his hunger, men doesn't look at that in the same sense as they would if a man's just stealing for his own profit or his own gain. Brother, if Brother Spike was starving, he stole something and I shot him and killed him for that, it'd be almost like making him innocent, because he's not innocent. He's innocent of a, he's innocent of everything that requires the death penalty. He's not guilty of that. He's not guilty of anything for which the penalty would be death. I'm going to wake up about halfway through the morning service and I'll be able to talk this morning. But when you kill somebody and they don't have, they've not committed a crime that's worthy of death, it's all in the same as if they were innocent. They're not guilty of anything that warrants that. And a lot of times somebody says something cross to you, they're not worthy to shed blood over that, just because you probably shouldn't be going to the prom anyway. But there's this thing in society now where, well, she won't go out with me, she's a racist. He won't pay attention to me, he must be gay. Well, no, it's just you're ugly. That comes back to that honesty thing. Well, you know, Daddy, I don't know what to do. She won't go out with me because you're dumb, son. Well, what good's that going to do? Work with the kid. Teach him how to dress. Hey, son, girls don't want to go out with boys that got their pants wrapped around their knees. Put your hat on right, Gomer Pyle. Y'all do realize, you know, they got this style now. They turn their hat over to the side and all that stuff. That's Gomer Pyle. Gomer Pyle started that. This pants hanging down to your knees stuff. They got a fella back in the 60s called String Bean. He started that. That what you're trying to act like? Y'all ever seen String Bean? Some of y'all don't even know what life is about. But it's this goofy, skinny fella that played the banjo and his pants hung down to his knees. Of course, he wasn't showing his drawers like they do this day and time. He had his pants. He had the end of his shirt sewed to the end of his pants, so they hung down there like that. Had legs about this long and a body about that long. Looked like a fool. He could play a banjo like nobody's business. But he looked like a fool. These, oh, Daddy, I don't know. I mean, get out and get a job and get a car. Ain't nobody want to ride your bicycle to Wendy's for no hamburger. But this generation, Brother Curtis, they'll say, well, son, it's her fault and ain't nothing wrong with you, and I don't see why any girl wouldn't want to go out with you. I mean, the buck teeth and... I'm talking about just being honest. If you be honest with somebody, you give them the means to correct why Susie won't go with you to the prom. And then when you get all that settled, tell them they don't need to be going to the prom because it's against God's will. Amen. I want to throw that in. It's a good illustration anyway. A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. We're going to pick up with this next week in verse 18. Feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. God don't like it when you separate brethren. Division's going to come, but you don't be the cause of the division. Amen. Be a problem solver, not a problem maker. Amen. We'll pick up right there in verse number 17 next week. Lord, we thank you, God, for the opportunity. Lord, I don't know where my mind's at today. I can't think of the words or anything like that, but that's my own fault, and I pray that you'd help me and strengthen me, God, for the morning service to come. Help me preach as I ought to. Help our brothers and sisters, God, to get something from the Word of God today. And then, Lord, I want to pray a special prayer for Brother John this morning, Brother Calvin. I pray, God, that you would, Brother Calvin Johns, Lord, I pray that you would help him be with him. You did a great work in his back a couple of weeks back, and Lord, I pray you'd help him, Lord, recover from this fall. I pray you'd give the doctors wisdom this morning about to find out if there's anything wrong in his head and in his mind. And I thank you, God, for everything that you'll do right there. In Jesus' name, I ask these things. Amen. Meant to tell you before service started, Brother John, Brother Calvin Johns had to go to the hospital last night. He fell. We had prayer with him week before last, and then last week he fell out the back door and hit his head on a grill out there or something, and put off going to the doctor. If you get a head injury, go to the doctor. But at any rate, that's neither here nor there. Last night his speech started slurring, and they life flighted him down to Jacksonville to a hospital, and they're doing tests on him right now, so we need to remember him in prayer. Amen. All right, take a little break and we'll get started here in a minute.